What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Yala. Your thrice weekly podcast where we talk about the hottest news with a touch of hot dirts.
Good old humor.
Good old humor, man.
Yeah.
What's up, man? How's the weekend, man?
It's been crazy hot, huh? The weekend was insane, man.
It has.
Like heat waves.
Yeah, it was, man. And I mean, like, I think it still hasn't settled in for me that we are back to that sort of weather. Mm. But every time I step out, I'm like, oh shit, yeah. It has been just hot the whole time.
Mm. The change was faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, they say now is the rest of March is going to top like 35 degrees also.
Yeah, and I remember it feels like 37 when you're outside. And yeah, based on Apple.
Apple weather. Because I mean, it really is. You wait at a traffic light also, it's like, whoo! It's like burning.
Yeah. I mean, I was out and about this weekend. Mm. I was checking out the Car Free Sunday thing in town. Yeah, a lot of cyclists all baking themselves out there. So,
but how was it? Was there a festive mood?
So basically, you know that road between the Padang and the National Gallery?
Yeah.
That place was closed off.
Only that, like where else?
Along Esplanade Drive, like outside the Esplanade, that stretch. A part of it was closed off. But it was a lot of cyclists. I mean, it is Car Free Sunday, so I think my mistake was expecting it to be like
walkable.
But I think with so many cyclists, it was like maybe even more dangerous than when there were cars.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Because cars got traffic lights.
But there was no like lane for cyclists and like pedestrians and all.
No, it was my worst nightmare. You can imagine cyclists everywhere. Yeah, no traffic lights, and then if cyclists hits you, like what happens? But again, these are not like spandex warriors, lah. These are like families.
I saw one photo of a guy with that old school bike, you know, the one with the big wheel in front and the small wheel, the penny farthing.
Penny farthing. And he was dressed up to the nines as well.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like a white dude, like doing it, like, right?
Yeah, it was interesting.
Lah,
so it was very, I mean, reports say like 1,000 people, is it?
Yeah.
A thousand people doesn't sound that many for that big an area.
But so many bicycles. But I mean, imagine how many of them were on bicycles, you see.
Like what, half?
Probably, at least. I mean, actually, pedestrians weren't as many as I imagined there would be, to be honest.
Was it like a loop or just like two roads?
So, you know, the Esplanade Drive, you can cross the bridge, then comes to the Padang, and then just down the Padang along National Gallery.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that area, you can just cycle back and forth around the area. Yeah, you can also get there via PCN. I guess the park connector network.
There was still like a festive mood, lah.
Yeah. I mean, anytime there's closed off roads, I think it's cool.
It's nice, lah.
It's just that I wish someone told me that if you weren't going there, if you're not going there with a bicycle, then you basically, yeah, lah, you are like the second class citizen on the road there, lah.
Oh.
Yeah. Not that I'm angry with it. I mean, it's
you're
everyone's
angry,
right.
You're
it's
Car Free
Sunday. But I did not expect it to become Cyclist Sunday, lah. It went from Car Free Sunday to Cyclist Sunday. And like even less like traffic.
So now you want a pedestrian Sunday, lah? No, cars, no wheels, lah. No wheels. Wheel-free Sunday.
No, like what you said, lah. Maybe a bit more delineate where cyclists should be and where the pedestrian should be.
Because I was thinking the fun part would be like you can walk on a road. For some, it's such a simple joy. But just being able to walk on a road and not worry about traffic, right?
Yeah. It's so fun, this one, lah. you can walk on the road, lah, and then everyone's ringing their bell at you, like ring, 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 get out of the way, lah. So after a while, it gets really annoying.
So then after that, you walk on the pavement.
After I left, I just walked into the pavement or entered another building or something. But yeah, I mean, there were a lot of people on bikes, you know. I think the typical overweight uncle on Brompton bicycle. There's a huge representation of that kind of people there.
Mm.
Then there was that white dude on the penny farthing, which is like, you know, it's like a colonial master doing colonial master things. Like.
Overlooking over everyone, like, right? Because it was a fucking high seat,
Yeah, the big hat and everything.
The big hat.
I don't even think he was like officially there to perform or anything. He was just there.
No, once I saw it outside my house.
Oh, really?
Along like the road, like it, just some dude just riding on his penny farthing.
Like to his plantation or something.
Oh, no. Just like
No, but was he dressed up like the
Just a random dude.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell? And I mean, I don't live in like some secluded area. No, there's one main road in front, and he was just cycling on the pavement.
Yeah. No, I mean, I saw people on unicycles, like that typical Singaporean kind of people, so lah. But they weren't dressed up like you know, that
colonial,
way,
colonially.
I mean, Yeah, you could say he looks like he's from a circus as well, like, as much as you can say, like, English colonial master.
Yeah.
But it was just funny because, yeah, it was just, like, out of nowhere, like, you know. Yeah, and in that heat, he was dressed up in a suit and everything in that heat as well, yeah.
That's true. Oh, but okay, lah. At least
dedication. Dedication to his craft.
I went to Disney on Ice.
Oh, yeah. Wow, the opposite. Like, mine was so hot. Yours was so cool.
Yeah, Disney on Ice.
Brilliant.
I mean, just not like something that I wanted to go, but I just ended up there with my wife and her friend and her friend's kid.
Yeah.
And, wow, the Disney machine. It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
It is crazy to watch. And, like, the way they... Like, you've been to Disney on Ice?
When I was a kid.
I never even went as a kid. And then as an adult, it's even more boring, man. And you know, there, like, all the... It's such a brilliant production because all the lines and all are pre-recorded.
Yeah.
So everyone down there is just, like, you know, going...
Skating,
like. Skating and, like, acting like they're talking and all.
Yeah.
And some performances were nice, like, but by the end of it, I didn't even know that there was a story across the whole thing. I thought it was just like a just songs from the movies after another, but there was a story.
Okay.
But yeah, it was insane, la, the Disney machine.
Well, you sound like the worst person to go and watch this.
Yeah, I'm not the best person to go. I'm not the best person.
The worst company. There you are. Before kids just trying to enjoy princess stories, kids, and then there you are telling, production value and all these things.
I mean, okay, kids, you know, I guess for kids, it has to be fun, la, because they don't know any better.
Yeah. But you've been fucked by the Disney machine. That's why you're like whatever, right? Is it?
I don't know, man. It's just like you watch it. You're like, wow, this is a machine, like, it's a machine.
It is.
A Disney machine, and it's a very powerful machine, like.
I mean, I went for a Disney thing recently, about the immersive thing. Mm. I enjoyed it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, granted, I went there with kids also, like, but I thought it was an interesting experience.
I was hoping to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Just not my cup of tea. Maybe the immersive one I might enjoy more. Maybe I'm just a Grinch. La.
Yeah. So the athleticism of the
performance was nice.
Yeah, you kind of enjoy it.
But the athleticism doesn't come across that often.
Oh. Okay.
Like when there was, I really loved it.
Yeah.
Like the acrobats and all with the, like, the ones that hang from the cloth from I don't know what that's called. Then, like, some of the skaters, yeah, like power. La.
I was
wondering, are these skaters, like, did they dream of becoming like an ice skating champion?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And then now they're doing this.
Yeah.
How do they feel?
Yeah.
So those are the kind of questions I was asking myself.
It's the kind of things people probably ask you about podcasts as well. Just sit here, you talk on the microphone, you don't know if anyone cares.
You want to be a stand-up comic.
How to make money. Is that really what you wanted to do?
I mean, I can't blame them if they ask. I can't blame them if they're thinking that.
No, but I guess that begs the question, then why aren't you more empathetic to
I never say I'm not doing? Empathetic. I'm like,
yeah, but you just bitch about them, that's all.
When did I bitch about them? I'm bitching about Disney.
Oh, it's the quality.
Very big difference between the corporation and the individuals. Like, I respect all of them so much.
Okay, okay.
The fact that they're bringing so much joy to kids.
Yeah.
Terrence, I have a heart, man.
Correct. La. You're not the target market, la, right?
That's I'm not a target market. Yeah, but yeah, Disney on Ice is never targeting the parents, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Right.
But it's a family thing.
It's a family thing.
No, it's meant to not say target the parents. It's you're meant to enjoy all together.
True. The popcorn chicken was very nice.
You bought it inside.
I bought it inside. Okay. So it was expensive popcorn chicken.
In the shape of a mouse or something? No?
No, it's just shaped like what you expect popcorn chicken to be shaped.
Not like Donald Duck shaped.
No. Okay. I don't know. Maybe it was, but it was dark.
Yeah.
I was just fucking eating the popcorn chicken.
You were just like bitching about it, frowning and everything. You're the Grinch, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it was an interesting experience.
Okay.
Interesting.
At least it was cool. It wasn't like, it's not hot.
It wasn't hot.
Okay.
But I mean, you see that, you go there, you see all the staff, the security. I think they are really getting into the groove of, like, they understand how to host big events.
Correct. And wow, what a great segue into what we're even discussing.
Exactly.
I mean, I see everyone. There was a whole purpose to what we were just talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
Hosting of big events in Singapore.
If you were listening, wondering what the fuck are these two people talking about, when you want to hear about the news, hold your horses, man.
Yeah.
Hold your horses.
That is why we do what we do.
Exactly.
Right? That's why we're experts. Don't question why we do what we do.
Yeah, and what we actually wanted to do before we started doing this.
Yeah.
But yes, before we jump into that, what is the thing we normally plug, Terrence?
If you're new here, especially on Instagram or another one of our social media platforms, like TikTok or what, welcome. And we hope you subscribe if this brings any, it brings you any value or joy, or at least tell one other person, and do something offline, tell someone about it, right? I think that's always a very fresh thing in today's society, when someone gives you an actual recommendation, like word of mouth, right?
Yeah, exactly. And if you want to find out more about other things we do, like the shows we've done, Folklory, Ministry of Funny, if you want to work with us, you can always reach out and find out all the info at ministryoffunny.com, our website, where you can also sign up for our newsletter, where we will email if we have something cool to share.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Awesome.
So as mentioned, let's jump right into that first topic.
Jump right into it.
Singapore, can we host these big events, right? That was what we're talking about.
Yeah, because last week on 14th March, it became public knowledge that Singapore is actually assessing the feasibility of hosting the 2026 Commonwealth Games.
Mm.
And at first I thought it was just, the bid is coming up and all. But the more you dig into it, the more, it's not that straightforward in terms of whether or not this is a good idea. And it's quite, there's been a lot of hiccups along the way already, for these games in particular.
Yeah.
But for you, do you got any emotional connection to the Commonwealth Games?
No, you always hear about it here and there. But it's never one of the marquee kind of events that everyone looks forward to, SEA Games or Asian Games.
Do you think SEA Games has more, even Asian Games has more, impact than Commonwealth Games?
I mean, at least at the SEA Games and Asian Games, there's always some big competition, football or something like that, where we play against our neighbors, right? Malaysia or Vietnam or Thailand or something. So there's always a little bit of buzz around those team events. Whereas Commonwealth Games, I don't remember.
There's no football.
Very much. I'm not sure actually, but there might be. But it's not a big deal, right? The fact that we're here talking about it, and do you remember the last time Singapore played in the Commonwealth Games or football match or anything like that?
I actually feel the opposite. I feel Commonwealth Games, there's almost not as much as, you don't hear about it as much, but when it's actually happening, there's a bit more global kind of feeling.
Is it?
Yeah, because Southeast Asian Games and Asian Games, you're competing, you hear you look at the lineup, it's all contained within Asia. But Commonwealth Games, 100 meter final, whatever, you see people from across the Commonwealth, which means across continents. And that's what I find interesting. That's why I feel there's a bit more of a global kind of, it's like the middle child, that is easy to forget. But got some substance there also.
But the origins of the Commonwealth Games.
Oh, yeah, that one is
it's all the former colonies.
Correct, the kingdom.
So maybe it's the same reason you enjoy seeing the penny farthing bicycle going around.
My hero worship of the white.
The new colonial mindset. We brought all of us together. It's so beautiful. We're from different continents, different countries, but we're all commonly wealthy here together, united. That's why you like it so much.
So then, are you feeling it's underwhelming because of the history or because of what you feel now? Or because of what you feel now is affected by the history?
I would say the history doesn't help, right?
Yeah, doesn't help.
You look at it, you're like, why are we here again?
There's no geographical reason why we should all be competing.
Yeah, exactly. There's no reason other than to build up this image of
the Commonwealth,
where everyone has prospered under the guidance of the colonial empire.
Yeah, when you break up the word Commonwealth also. Really?
Is it common?
Is it common? Is wealth common across the Commonwealth?
Yeah. So, in fact, that has bled into the problems that it's facing today also, right? Where not that many countries are super keen, or at least they are not super keen to host it, right?
Yeah. And just to give some context. So, basically, if you think about it, 2026, is the Commonwealth Games around March, I believe. And it was only last November when the Commonwealth Federation, the Commonwealth Games Federation, the CGF, kind of invited countries in the Commonwealth to express interest. That is because the original host, that was Victoria, who agreed to host it, I think in 2022, towards the end, last year, October, they pulled out because of ballooning costs.
Yeah.
So when you go back into even the history of the Commonwealth Games 2026, so basically it was kind of like a domino effect. For the 2022 games, it was meant to be in Durban, the South African city.
Mm-hmm.
And 2015, they won the rights. So 7 years ahead. But 2017, they got stripped of the rights due to financial concerns.
Mm.
So Birmingham, which was supposed to host in 2026, got pushed to up to host 2022, which meant that 2026, there was no host.
Yeah.
There were bids actually from KL, Cardiff, Calgary, Edmonton, Adelaide, all withdrawn due to cost.
Mm.
That thing was left as a void. Then in January 2022, Victoria announced they were going to give a serious consideration. They accepted later in 2022, I think April 2022. Then 1 year later, they pulled out. And right now, they might be having to pay $300 million.
Wow.
As a
contract.
Yeah, for a contract. But I mean, to them, it still made sense, like, because apparently it went up from 2.4 billion to about 6 billion, which is a crazy amount.
Yeah.
So when I heard this, I was like, oh, because at first I was thinking objectively, maybe there is good reason for us to consider.
Yeah.
But then you look at everyone pulling out because of the cost.
Yeah,
that changes the context, lah.
I think Gold Coast also looked at stepping in after Victoria pulled out, and then decided not to, saying that there was no support from state or federal governments, lah, in terms of funding.
Yeah.
So now, yeah, there's a bag being foisted around the region, and I think Singapore and Malaysia are both considering taking up the bag, lah, at a very high cost based on what the budget is, and with a very short timeline, lah. Like, it's literally
2 years.
2 years away, lah, right? Yeah. To host a big series of games. Huh?
Yeah.
But what have you seen that makes you say that people are concerned about the cost and all that?
You mean for other countries?
Yeah, in Singapore. Yeah.
I mean, online you see some chatter, nothing too conclusive.
Yeah.
It was just my own thinking, like, is this the best thing to host?
I thought you like it. Like, you said you find it like somewhere between Olympics and Asian Games.
Yeah,
you think Commonwealth better than Asian? That's what you're saying.
Don't anyhow like that. No, it's nice to watch it, but your country hosting it, two very different things, Terrence. Like sometimes, it's nice to host a gala, nice to attend a gala or some shit. Like, you want to organize it yourself? Fuck no.
It's nice to go to someone's party.
Like, yeah, I like going to other people's weddings. Did I like to organize my own wedding? Debatable, you know?
Debatable.
So this is the same thing here. Yeah. So that was where I was coming from. Like.
Mm.
And in the sense, like, because I was looking also at Birmingham, I think Birmingham, it came out to about 980 million pounds.
Yeah.
And if you read articles, the residents, you know, look back at it fondly.
Mm.
But I think they were kind of bankrupted slightly by it.
Yeah. Slightly. I mean, yeah, like bankrupted, right?
Yeah, because when I was looking at bankrupted, like, I don't know how bankrupt. I mean, the city is still running.
Yeah.
They also got certain funding from the English government.
Mm.
So it wasn't just there's Birmingham that fronted it.
Yeah.
But it felt like, they were talking about abandoned building sites and all that. So when you look at it, like, is this really the best idea for us to organize?
Yeah.
Like, for you?
I mean, you look at our experience with the Youth Olympic Games back in the day as well.
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact figures, but also blew the budget, right? Ballooned beyond what we had planned. And even till today, there's still political ramifications for Vivian Balakrishnan, right? Who was in charge of it at that point, right?
Yeah.
Like, people still bring it up and still talk about it, and not with fond memories, right?
Yeah.
It's a real discussion on whether, like, hosting this kind of event necessarily is a good thing for Singapore, versus F1 or versus Taylor Swift, for example.
Mm.
Like, does hosting this Commonwealth, how do you feel about that? Does that excite you if you know that, maybe if I can go around and watch
Commonwealth games? Hosting it would be awesome, like, as a spectator.
Mm.
But I don't think it's the best thing for our country to do.
Why, yeah?
Because
what about inspiring the youth? Huh? You don't inspire the youth.
Yeah, but let me finish my thought. Basically, like, right now, I think what they're doing, in terms of organizing global sporting events that are on a single spot basis, right, is maybe the best thing. I think this past weekend, we had the Singapore Smash.
Yes, yes.
Which was a badminton tournament.
Yes.
Right. Next year, we are going to be the first Asian country to organize the World Aquatics Championship.
Yep.
Which I, at first I thought, hey, like, is this some offshoot thing? But it's actually FINA, which has been renamed to the World Aquatics Association.
Swimming, right?
Swimming. Yeah. No, it's only, not only swimming. It's swimming, diving, artistic swimming, and water polo.
Oh, okay.
So it's aquatics, you know?
Aquatics, yeah.
Yeah. And it's aquatics, lah.
Yeah.
Aquatics. So that feels like, oh, you know, it's contained.
Mm.
We are slowly building up our expertise as like a aquatics hub.
Yeah.
Then I think in 2022, they also bid to hold the World Athletics Championship.
Yeah.
But we lost out to Tokyo.
Okay.
So it feels like, okay, we are still like, yes, we want to be an entertainment and sporting hub. But I think games, it's going to be super expensive. Mm. And I think maybe it's not, it's like going 0 to 100 a bit too fast. So that's what I feel. But of course, if they do organize it, they can somehow manage to make the economics of it work. I think as a spectator, it'd be great.
But isn't the question, is the question really about can we afford it or can we afford not to host it?
You know, not like to host it.
If we don't host it and then say Malaysia hosts it and then the eyes of the Commonwealth are on Malaysia and they get all the eyeballs that we covered so much, right?
Mm.
Like how everyone was staring at Singapore last 2 weeks ago, like with Taylor Swift was here. You think there's something we can deal with, the aftermath?
I think can.
You think so? Can.
Because at the end of it, yes, you get all the eyeballs, but if net-net you are spending a lot more than it is bringing in, then it doesn't sound like the best thing to do. But like, for you?
I mean, probably the example, you and I are old enough to remember the Youth Olympic Games.
Mm.
When they were in town, right?
Yeah.
There was a buzz in the air, you know, like it was cool that you could go to a neighborhood stadium and watch like some obscure sport or, you know, fencing or whatever at a very high level, right? And I guess for the athletes living in Singapore and all, it was quite inspiring too, right?
Mm.
But ultimately, what are the long-term things that come out of it, right? Do you remember anything that in particular that like, yeah, that was a sporting moment. That was a milestone in Singapore sporting history.
I remember the mountain biking trail at Tampines, which was made for the Youth Olympics Games, was super cool.
And where is it now?
I think it just for BTO.
My point exactly.
While it was there, I remember going out. I was like, oh shit, there's this kind of mountain biking track. Not that I mountain bike, I actually ran along the pathways and all.
Yeah, okay.
And it was amazing.
Yeah.
But then after that, I realized it. I found out it was cleared.
So yeah, I mean that kind of illustrates the point, right? That you do these things, there's buzz, but after that, there's like what are the lingering effects of it,
So like Taylor Swift, what's the lingering thing? What's the lingering effects?
That people want to come back and do it again, you know, do whole concerts in the region again. Everyone's, last week, people, you know, were praising our whole public transport system for how it handled everything.
Yeah.
And I think, like what you said, the staff now, they're so accustomed to.
They're like Disney on ice, please.
Nothing you know.
Easy.
Yeah, 360,000 people, did it last week, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that one I can see, you know, actually, like, it brings our sports hub from, you know, 0 to 100 pretty fast, right?
Mm.
Whereas this one is like, I think the thing about games is that when you bring the games over, you're not just bringing the popular sports. You also bring the sports that very few people actually play. Maybe in Singapore.
Like what?
I mean, I don't know. Even like shooting or stuff like that, right? You know, shooting, what's it called? Like marksmanship. What's the sport called?
Air rifle.
Yeah. Or one of those shooting
or the clay that one.
It's one of those. I mean, Singapore actually has champions in those areas, but it's very few people who actually play it, right? Mm. But you still have to coordinate everything for it and all.
Mm.
So it's you probably end up like your mountain biking course building facilities that maybe one-off use only. And I think you read about like what happened in let's say Brazil after they hosted the World Cup, right?
Mm.
A lot of stadiums that left abandoned and not in use, right?
Yeah.
It's a real strain on the public resources, right, to maintain some of these facilities.
Mm.
And so maybe they're just better off having building BTOs over them or what. So it's a lot of cost that goes into these things that don't necessarily, I can't see the, even the short-term benefit of it, lah. And then no need to talk about long-term, lah.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it gets you some media coverage and all these things, but, you know, one, you know, Taylor Swift or Coldplay concert can also get you a lot of media coverage, lah.
Maybe then they do a thing, lah. We do Taylor Swift, we do Coldplay and all.
Yeah.
But then we use that to offset the Commonwealth Games cost. And then, like, they check, okay, haven't balanced yet. We need to get back, like, some other global superstar.
Mm.
And then balance.
But that, then I think that people are asking the question, and they're also asking this question in Malaysia, right? Where could their money be better used to do other things? Like, not necessarily diverted to something entirely different, like housing or what. But let's say investing in the infrastructure for the local athletes, right? Mm. To train and all.
Because
if anything, we know in Singapore, our local football scene, for example, there's not a lot of places for people to train and play football at a very high level, right?
Mm.
Yeah, so maybe could those resources be better used to something else to develop the local scene rather than spending it to host a whole competition?
Mm. I think that's what the Australian state of Victoria is doing. They're saying we're going to use some of the budget that we had to improve the sports facilities as well as social housing and hospitals.
Yeah.
But then, you think it can be solved by just economics of it, like ticket prices and all that?
But the thing is, we don't have a big domestic population of people to go and watch buy tickets. And then, I mean, you know, you try to imagine, like, this is not the World Cup or anything where people are going to fly in to watch it, right? It's only going to be, like, maybe a few spots they might, but other than that, for the most part, people, it's not going to have that kind of attention on it.
So then what do you think about a co-host with Malaysia?
Ah, now that's a more interesting possibility, right? I think that where you actually, because then you split the, you know, the cost and everything, and then from there, you also find a way to work with Malaysia on it, right?
Mm.
And you're not like sort of held hostage by the Commonwealth Games Federation itself or what, right?
Mm.
You know that you have a stronger bargaining position because it's two people together, two countries together, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's a possibility. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be cooler. But I can't imagine it working out politically.
Yeah.
It's just too, it feels like too many things. Like, can you imagine they come to Singapore, then they have some fucking shok roti prata.
Yeah.
Then they go to Malaysia. Then it's like, where's my roti prata? They're like, sorry, we serve roti canai here.
Yeah.
Then like, what the hell? I had roti prata in Singapore. Then like, you don't want, you go back to Singapore? Like.
Yeah.
So stuff like that.
I think it could work if there was more time to negotiate and all that. But now it's like 2 years.
Yeah. Because by then the high speed rail also won't, wait, what is the status on the high speed rail in Singapore?
I don't think it's any time that soon.
Is it confirmed green?
It's still moving forward, but at a glacial pace, starts and stops. But I mean, it would require the stars. The stars need to align for something like that to happen. In terms of negotiations, not even talking about like the facilities and all that. Just for both countries to sort of like, okay, negotiate. Okay, you take what sport, I take what sport, and how do people travel freely between the two countries or so, given the, you know, the causeway issues we have and things like that,
Right. I guess it's one of those things, like would you say that if before Taylor Swift came, you go up to anyone, like average Singaporean, and say, do you think it's a good idea we get Taylor Swift to do 6 concerts here?
Yeah.
Generally, most people would say yes,
Yeah.
Right. Whereas Commonwealth Games is a bit more.
Yeah.
Maybe, but that's the danger. Maybe Edwin Tong is right. You know, like, all his, like, committee members saying no. He's like, guys, you shut up, okay?
Yeah.
I brought in Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
This is a walk in the park.
Yeah.
You know, this is the next challenge. Anyone can bring in Taylor Swift, but to bring in Commonwealth Games and be profitable, that is my next challenge.
Yeah.
So y'all shut up, we're doing Commonwealth Games.
Yeah. So if we compare, we're comparing Taylor Swift and Commonwealth Games, right?
Yeah.
But maybe F1 is a more closer comparison to Commonwealth Games. We talked about F1, you know, also it's also not like as mainstream a sport as football or anything, right?
Mm.
But it's still a sport that, you know, like, that still has a sizable following, and they bring in a lot of entertainment alongside the race itself, right? So what if something like that is done for the Commonwealth Games? Is that, you think that makes it any better?
Wow, that one tricky, yeah. Because the Commonwealth Games is it's like a 12-day thing.
Yeah.
Whereas the F1 is F1 weekend, you know.
Yeah.
And F1, because it's only just one sport, but that sport already has a lot of associations with, like, you know, the rich and like the wealthy, you know.
Mm.
Whereas sports is almost a bit, if they charge damn expensive for the tickets, it's not going to make sense.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The spots are supposed to be accessible, right?
Yep, yep.
So I think very different kind of vibes.
Yeah, that's right. That's very true. That's true. Kind of vibes. Like F1 tickets itself, already, you know, it's like going to be sold to corporate sponsors and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
Exactly. And there's a concert as well.
Yeah.
Where they try and get some big name stars.
Yeah.
Commonwealth Games is like.
It's a one off thing or so, right? It's not like it's repeatable. Like 4 years later, you have the same thing.
Unless they're, if they really want to prove their metal has like a sports hub, right?
Yeah.
Maybe the end goal is like the World Cup or something. I don't know. But World Cup, I think, is impossible in Singapore.
Yeah. Or right. maybe to prove your metal, we do 6 Commonwealth Games in a row. It's for the next 24 years. We'll host like 6 Commonwealth Games.
That's Edwin Tong's legacy. We'll become the Commonwealth nation.
He thinks in six packs. Everything has come in six packs.
Can do 6 times or not? Cannot? Then shut the fuck up. Yeah.
Sorry, 6 or nothing. 6 or nothing, that's it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Then
we'll lock it in for 24 years. Then we will. Maybe it makes sense to, you know, build out facilities and all that, right?
Economies of scale.
Exactly.
Wow. But that would be like, that would be a tall ask.
Yeah. 6. Yeah. Because, I mean, the Commonwealth Games Federation, I find it quite interesting that after Victoria pulled out, then that's why they had like I think they had a special meeting here in Singapore last November. Kind of telling right, that after the Victoria pulled out, that then they had this special meeting in
Singapore.
And Gold Coast also. Yeah, then they had this meeting in Singapore. Tells you, they're probably shopping around. They were shopping around for new suitors, right?
Yeah.
That's why they
did offer like £100 million, I think. A grant to help the next person who becomes host.
But that's peanuts compared to what the host has to spend to make it happen, right?
I mean, it's still a decent amount.
Yeah.
But it just looks bad, you know? I'm guessing Olympics World Cup, there'll be no shortage of suitors, right?
Yeah. That one, you can tell, it's etched in history, right? Those events. Yeah.
Commonwealth Games also etched in history.
Oh, yeah. Whose history, right? The history of the Commonwealth.
Commonwealth.
Yeah. It's such a nebulous concept, the whole Commonwealth thing.
Yeah. It's like too much of that whole monarchy, the royal family and all. Just like,
and then now they're having so many problems themselves, Harry and Kate's photo and all this.
Well, Harry got new controversy. Yeah. I thought it was just
not
Kate.
Not new controversy, but I mean, the last few years, Harry and Meghan have been a circus
now
show.
Now it's
right?
Kate and William.
Yeah.
Because got that supposed alleged affair and all.
Yeah. So is that necessarily what you want to be so closely associated to, right?
Yeah. So, right. I mean, I'm also seeing some articles saying the Commonwealth Games has ran its course. You know, is there a need for Commonwealth Games? But I don't know, as an athlete, right? It's still a games where, I mean, okay, the timings and all are still world-class, the world records and all, right?
Yeah.
You'll still be competing against world-class athletes.
Yeah.
So, as an athlete, I can imagine you wanting it to happen, especially if you're thinking, because, I mean, I can also imagine athletes, you train, this year you're gunning for the Olympics, next year is this. And if something is taken out, it disrupts your schedule.
Correct.
And you also have a very limited window to peak. So, as an athlete, I can imagine, they want it.
But, the thing about Commonwealth Games is not like the World Cup where the host nation gets like immediate entry into the competition, right?
Yeah.
So the World Cup, that's one benefit of hosting the World Cup, you automatically qualify for it, right?
Yeah.
Which otherwise you wouldn't be able to. Right? Whereas this Commonwealth Games, I don't think there's such a thing, right? You wouldn't, you still have to meet certain standards before you can actually participate in the game. So it's not like our local athletes immediately have a chance to shine on the world stage or what, right? They kind of still... You still need to train up properly first before you can even try for the games.
Yeah.
So it's a bit... You can't buy your way into the games or so.
Yeah. For the Singapore government to say they are assessing the feasibility or something, interesting, because, I mean, the way they orchestrated the Taylor Swift thing, who knows, maybe they got something up their sleeve, They're like, okay, you fund all the costs, but we'll get Taylor Swift to open up the Commonwealth Games. She khaki with us already.
Yeah.
We got her permanent suite at MBS.
Yeah.
And she just come and then sell concert tickets for that. You never know, man.
Never know. But I would say this one is like, there's political baggage going with this because of Youth Olympic Games. Whereas the Taylor Swift thing was really, it's unprecedented, right? A 6-day concert of the biggest pop star in the world.
But 2026, by then the election's finished already.
Correct. But in the lead up, you want to announced and everything in the climate that we're in of like talking about high cost of living and what the government is doing and all that.
But apparently since the first edition in 1930, the games has only been held in Asia twice.
Yeah.
KL in 1998 and New Delhi in 2010. The rest of the time is UK, Australia, Canada and New Zealand.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
But yeah, maybe if Singapore wants to go for another first, that might be the attraction to it.
Oh, Edwin Tong now is like, what's next, man? What is next?
He's on adrenaline high now. He's like, he needs to
anything
top that.
Else okay.
He needs to top
Someone
that.
Needs to put bring Edwin Tong down to earth. Back down to earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But yeah,
interesting lah.
But yeah, speaking of putting someone back down to earth lah, right? There was this bunch of people who were very close to the ground, to earth, but now have found themselves in the stratosphere of like social media.
Hello, mom.
And having gone like super viral because of something they posted and something that apparently is being investigated also lah. Yeah. Who are this group of people?
Yeah, so it was a 6. SCS servicemen who uploaded something on Insta stories where they were holding their rifles in a forested area with a caption that read Chong Sua N-word. So like the definition of Chong Sua, which is a Hokkien word, is rush up a hill.
Yeah.
But I mean, from my non-Hokkien speaking memory, it is just you Chong Sua means you go outfield and you just chong. You just whack. Like, you do your training and you give it your all. But it's also a noun, right?
We're going
this
for
is my Chong Sua. So that's what the caption was saying. Like we are a bunch of Chong Sua. N-word lah.
But that's not then Chong Sua is not the noun lah, right? The N-word is the noun. Chong Sua is like the activity lah, right? That they do together.
Oh yeah lah. It's like my soccer khakis.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Chong Sua. So it's like activity lah. Activity.
I mean yeah lah. The noun yeah lah. But yeah, the main noun is that they're describing themselves as the N-word lah.
Yeah. So it was posted on Instagram on 13th March, I believe. Then it was reshared on X. And then by 14th March, the post on X was still available, but the user has since made the account private. So it was around like 1-2 days lah.
Yeah.
So the MINDEF is investigating. When you saw this, what came to your mind, Terrence?
I guess it's people are saying that it's a racial slur and everything, right? I guess the but here is like... I mean, obviously, these guys are kind of stupid for having posted this because that is... Everyone in army knows that, you shouldn't be taking photos of yourself and posting... But posting them online is even more stupid. And then adding a racial slur in your caption is like levels of stupidity also, right?
Yeah.
But there are some people in comments and all that who are saying that, how is this... would the SAF even... have noticed this or made a fuss about this if there wasn't that racial slur in there, right? Like, would it even be a big deal, you know? Because I think, but because of this racial slur in there, that's why the SAF has no choice but to look into this, lah.
You don't think it is just the posting of the picture as it is?
I mean, that is an offense in some way.
Yeah.
But I think because of the racial slur with it as well, it has just accelerated the whole process and made it a bigger thing than it usually is. I'm sure there's always some idiot who posts photos of himself in camp on social media.
Actually, I don't know. Like, nowadays, is it a thing? When people are in camp, be it as an NSF or NS man, do people post shit online?
Not supposed to.
Not supposed to, right?
Not supposed to. Still not supposed to. Yeah.
And then just want to just put like Chong Sua.
Yeah. So people on Reddit are saying like... the N-word in particular, right? Is it really considered like a racial slur in Singapore, right? Given that we don't have a very big, African-American community or anything like that, right? So why is this like considered a racial slur, right? When it doesn't particularly target anyone in the group or any one of the major demographics of people in Singapore. So there's some of the people are saying like, the... all these American standards of
importing, importing the slow words.
Yeah, impropriety.
What do you think?
Huh?
What do you think?
I think a racial slur is a racial slur, right? Regardless of where it's from or what it is.
Mm.
So it's definitely not in good taste to use it, regardless of where you are.
Mm.
And should not be encouraging young people to use it. But there are arguments against that also. Some people say, well, what do you think when you hear that?
I mean, just last week or a few weeks before, I was in a gathering with acquaintances.
Okay.
One guy was just like, radio, hey, what's up, bro?
Yeah.
And I was like, is that cool?
Yeah.
Does he not know that that could be something that people can be offensive?
Yeah.
And he was just using it. I was like, he's an older guy.
Yeah.
Then I was thinking, did I miss something in what is acceptable in Singapore? Mm-hmm. Because to me, that is almost like a universally derogatory word.
Yeah.
Why would you use it?
You say universal, but if like a black man is talking to another black man and they use it,
yeah,
what's up, you know?
Universal for non-black people?
So then it's not universal already. Universal means everyone,
true,
right?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So if, because this is the argument I'm reading, is that people are saying that if our interaction or understanding of that word comes from how, black people in the US use that word in rap, in, movies, popular culture.
Mm.
And so that's our understanding of what the word is, because that's our interaction with that world, right?
Yeah.
Then is it that bad that this group, this bunch of young people in Singapore are using it in that context, talking about themselves as buddies?
The brotherhood.
Brotherhood, yeah. What's up, man? They're not using it in a derogatory way to each other. So does that make it offensive, or are we just importing this idea of it? Oh, it's such an offensive thing,
Wow.
Right.
Yeah. I think that word is almost too loaded, right?
Yeah.
To ever, be seen as a harmless word, used by someone who is not part of the community.
Yeah, yeah.
So in this case, you can argue it whatever which way, but when you post something on social media where you don't have a chance to add an audio note together with your Instagram stories explaining why we should not, it being as a derogatory word is outdated, blah, blah, is fucking stupid. So that's where I feel like when they posted it, right, what world do they live in? The fact that they posted it on social media means they must be aware of social media. They must be aware of all the things that go on in social media. Maybe they just live in that smaller echo chamber that they are not aware.
Yeah.
Which boggles my mind also.
Yeah.
Yeah. So going back to your question about what I feel like, I think it's one of those, a derogatory word for Indian people, kaling. Or for Chinese people, what, chinks.
Or Jackie Chan's.
Jackie Chan's.
Me and my Jackie Chan's. Imagine a group of people in America.
Jackie Chan.
They're not even like Asian or Chinese or whatever.
Yeah.
And me and my Jackie Chan's or me and my Ching Chong friends or something.
Chinks.
Yeah. Chinks. Would that get them in trouble?
Or me and my Kalings.
Exactly. Yeah. Would that get them in trouble,
I can imagine people within their communities who are of that race feeling like, hey, guys, you all don't understand this word. Mm. Don't use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of racial violence in the US, against Asian people, whether you're Indian or Chinese or what. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think there would be that sort of same sentiment.
Yeah.
And because those words are not as infamous as the N-word. So I think if it does happen, I would imagine people in the who understand the context, the people from that race would feel a little outraged. Would you feel anything if you saw a post and not to say that we are saying the impact of the words is the same throughout, every word has different histories, different amounts of being a loaded word. If you saw me and my chinks,
definitely in bad taste, right?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't go get outraged over it, right? And maybe that's an issue of us just getting used to or re-internalizing racism, right? In our own, in the ways our societies are, right?
Mm.
Because I think that if anything, the last few years with all the Black Lives Matter and everything, it's become a much more global issue, right? That people around the world have seen on social media or at least have come across in some ways. So yeah, I agree that especially young people who are on TikTok, all that, they should have heard of these issues, the issues of using these things. But I can't say the same of like other, you know, other races as well, right?
Yeah.
Racial slurs that are used to other races. So broadly, I wouldn't want anyone to use any kind of racial slur against other people.
Mm.
But maybe there is that possibility that certain racial slurs are more sensitive or more, you know, can cause greater offense and anger than others. Right?
Yeah. Because I mean, okay, even if you look at vulgar words, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the word fuck.
Yeah.
Right? It is seen as something you ideally shouldn't say in front of children and younger folk and all.
Yes.
But there are other words that are more like also like if the F word is seen as something that is very vulgar and other words are seen as not vulgar, what differentiates it? It's more the use around it and the things the word is loaded with, right?
Yeah.
Like the word itself, what it means, is not as offensive as some other things.
Yeah.
Right, but you can say some things, but you can't say the F word.
Yeah.
So that's where it feels like it's not just based on the definition, it's everything around it.
Yeah.
And then one thing that I just noticed in the Straits Times articles that they pointed out, that these people also had camouflage paint on their faces. So when you put that next to the N word.
Oh, because it's dark colored.
I don't know.
Oh. But then there's very bad camo that they're doing because it's supposed to be like a few colors, right?
Yeah, a few colors, But then the fact is, they might not be intending that. But when you have like paint on your face,
okay,
that is kind of changing your skin color.
Skin color,
and some parts are darker.
Oh man!
Then I was like, oh my god, this is like the level 2 one. So these people are like even dumber idiots.
Yeah.
To do that. Like, if that was your thought process, oh, we're putting paint on our face.
Yeah.
What other instances have people put paint on their face, regardless of whether they were cancelled or not?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, then it becomes, then you're like, okay, you're indefensible.
Yeah. But what you say about the context is, I think, is important to note, right? And even people who do it for a living. Remember the Indonesian rapper Rich Brian?
Mm.
Remember his name at one point was not Rich Brian, it was Rich Chigger, right? And obviously, it's a linkage of his Chinese ethnicity with the N-word, right?
Yeah.
And I think after that, he changed it. I mean, he got big, got popular in the US, and he decided to change his stage name. And he actually, I think if I remember correctly, he issued some kind of like, I was young and I didn't understand the gravity of what I was saying and all that. But now, as I'm older, I know how to blah, blah, blah. You know, so it showed, he understands what context means. If I'm now speaking to a global audience who, and there are people who might not appreciate this name that I've chosen for myself, then I should move on from it, right?
Yeah.
Haven't seen it happen to the Singaporean rapper yet. He's still out there as Sugar Shay.
Yeah.
Sugar Shay is still Sugar Shay.
Sugar Shay.
But maybe when Sugar Shay gets big, more global and everything, then he might need to revisit like, hey, should I be calling myself Sugar Shay or not?
Sugar Shay, yeah, that's why. Exactly.
Yeah, I should ask him.
Yeah, yeah. So it's one of the things when you're... If they were just saying it amongst the six of them in the jungle, who the hell gives a shit, right?
Yeah.
But when you put it out on social media...
Wearing a SAF uniform with like camo on the face, everything else.
That's right. It's like... I don't know whether it was a police report or anything, probably.
Or someone saw the photo and then posted it elsewhere. Yeah.
So I don't know, man. It sounds like it's very hard to have any mitigating defenses.
So curious. So... How did it end up with that friend who kept using the N-word at your social gathering?
It wasn't a social gathering. It was like a work kind of thing.
Work gathering? Isn't that even worse?
No, not say work. It was an industry kind of like a meeting.
Okay.
So then I was like, I don't know him that well.
Okay.
To be like, hey, bro, you know. And it was a short meeting that was talking about work. And I was like...
Then you fire back with the K word lah, like, because that's the only word that you can use, right?
Yeah.
You can use it yourself also lah.
Yeah, but then it reached a point where
like for me, I would go, hey, yo, chink, what's up, man? Chink, my chinks in the house, man. Then he realizes, oh, maybe I shouldn't be saying this like that lah.
Okay lah, maybe next time I try that. Yeah. Maybe next time I try that. Then everyone will be like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like it was, I don't hear it often anymore. But sometimes when I hear people do say it, I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like regardless of what you think, what I think, that is one of those things that, like no, like I haven't heard that many people argue that the F word is not a vulgar word. Have you heard it? Like
no.
No, right? I think everyone is like, okay, like, this is a swear word.
Yeah, you don't have if you. Yeah, if you can avoid using it, you avoid that.
Yeah, right? Avoid. If you have, you know, with like older folk or younger folk, you don't use it. But yeah, when it comes to derogatory terms, that's when it feels like some people can find some way to explain it and why it's not bad.
Yeah.
Which feels a bit weird.
It feels a bit weird. And I feel like in Singapore, if anything, we, you know, it's been ingrained in us this whole idea of like, you know, racial, coexisting peacefully, right, with other races, right? I wouldn't say harmony, but I say coexisting peacefully and being tolerant and everything.
Yeah.
Means that we also don't have to follow how stuff is done in other communities or countries or so, right? That closely, and then we apply our own understanding of things to it,
Basically, like what you're saying just now, equal representation of derogatory words, one person use, then the CMIO, all use.
Use on yourself, Use your own derogatory term, own it, own it. Yeah. But don't go and use someone else's and then insist that, it must work because, you know, they use it, so I can use it.
So maybe that's the defense. If someone says a derogatory term, you must make sure you got equal representation.
Correct.
So everyone then use your own derogatory term. That's the way to combat
it. Just be like, hi, my name is Terrence and my derogatory term is this.
My pronoun is he, him. My derogatory term is...
So if you want to use it, please, use it with my consent. You are using it with my consent.
That's true.
That could be the new social interaction.
The new social interaction on LinkedIn and all. Yeah. Harish, he, him, kaling.
So everything else is off limits. Yeah, right. This one, okay.
But I can say it. Yeah. I can say it. Yeah. Okay, if I use it, you understand. I am killing. Yeah. Oh, fucking wow. Amazing!
I think that would be brilliant. If Singapore, we are the first ones to do that.
Yeah, this is on the IC.
You're allowed one derogatory term.
One derogatory term. You have to say, it's like changing your name and all. Like, you want to change, you have to go through an entire process.
Yeah. And some there are only these certain approved derogatory terms that you're allowed to choose from.
Oh man, that'd be great, man. Yeah. Not a brilliant idea, Singapore government.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. Interesting. But, can't see it going any other way. I think they're screwed, man.
Yeah.
Screwed.
What is your one short comment after this very hot and eventful weekend?
My one short comment was something on Reddit posted by Massive Address 3966. Maybe a new Redditor, new podcaster.
Sure.
They were saying, thankful for the podcast. That was the name of the post. The podcast brings so much insight that it is more than just current affairs. When I was talking to a random Ang Mo, the first thing comes into my mind is you guys. Okay, I have to talk slower because Yalabat mentioned that we need to speak slower. It'll be easier for them to understand. Which is amazing. Even the slightest information or things you share can be learnings that can be applied to our individual lives.
Yeah.
I'm grateful and thank you, Terrence and Arish, for sharing. Never thought like people would take away that as a learning from our podcast. But if it was helpful for this person in their life, and hopefully it didn't come across, they didn't say, okay, I need to talk slower because you're an Ang Mo who doesn't understand. If it improved communication there, then I guess great to hear.
It's
good. A funny comment.
Mine's from YouTube on our latest episode about the TikTok ban in the US and Kayatos, whether Kayatos is Malaysian. June 4634 says, hi guys, I'm a senior in my early 70s. I came across your podcast on YouTube and am really enjoying it. I'm a subscriber here and also on TikTok. Only bugbear, lessen the F word. So very appropriate for our discussion. Senior in her early 70s, I suppose, is saying that we use the F word too much.
I think I've used it like 5 times already this podcast. What's the name of the commenter?
June 4634.
That's correct. No guarantees.
Disappointing our seniors.
No guarantees.
Disappointing our
seniors. Yeah. We see lah. We see.
Yeah.
We see. But what about your one short thing, man?
My one short thing. Just give me a minute. I'm pulling it up on YouTube. My one short thing. Oh wait.
Should I go first?
I got it. I got it. Oh wait. You go first. Yeah.
Okay, my one short thing. Over the weekend, my wife actually started watching The Morning Show.
The Jennifer Aniston one.
And I joined her like mid-season.
Yeah.
Because part of me was like, hey, why you start watching the show, you never tell me. But then I joined her half season and I watched the second half and I actually thought it was pretty watchable. I had heard good things about it.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like it was a runaway blockbuster success that you had to watch.
Yeah.
But I watched it and like, I don't know when or if Jennifer Aniston has ever had that serious a role and being the lead in a TV series.
Yeah.
I don't know. And like Reese Witherspoon, yeah, her character started off annoying, but over time, good. And Steve Carell, one of my all-time favorite actors, were all in it. Very high production value. And it took on the topic of Me Too, sexual harassment, without coming across as overly preachy. And I thought it was a good watch.
Yeah.
I think the ratings for the first season was 62% maybe. Mm-hmm. So not universal acclaim.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I heard good things about it.
I enjoyed it. I know there's three seasons. That was just the first season.
Okay.
So if you have Apple TV, you might want to give it a shot.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's Apple TV. That's right.
And what about you?
Mine was a video that someone posted over the weekend. It's actually an instructional video from 1988, MRTC 1988, Your Guide to Traveling on the MRT. So it's an old school video that I think when MRT was first introduced to Singapore, it was probably on TV and everything, trying to teach people how to use the MRT, how to buy a ticket, how to sit on the train, what to do on the train, and
who
things like that.
Who was presenting it?
Samuel Goh, is it? Samuel?
Oh.
Samuel Goh, Samuel Wong, is it? From the Pyramid Game back then.
Yeah.
Samuel.
Let me see.
Samuel something. But yeah, basically it's him walking around the MRT and basically going through the whole process. Going through the whole process of topping up your card and how to plan your journey and then how to, wait for the train and then get on the train and get off the train and just explaining the benefits the MRT is bringing to Singapore. And it's a pretty awesome watch because you'd be just shocked at seeing the map of the MRT and how barren it used to be, just one snake across the island. And then you think about what the MRT is now and the fact that you can change between interchanges.
Oh, that was just east-west?
I think the east side wasn't even developed yet. So it was north and west. That's it. That was how early it was. And then the cost, the tickets, the machine you could buy, only the most expensive ride was $1.10. And so they were teaching people how to put in coins to buy the machine and buy it from the machine and all. So it's just a real blast on the past. And the MRT trains and everything, they looked completely barren back in the day. But there's also this sense of it was exciting, right? Because public transport in Singapore, it was a hotly debated thing. Could we afford it? Could we afford not to have it and all that? And you can watch the video and there's this excitement about what public transport can do for transportation and the economy in Singapore.
Must have been quite exciting, when you were living growing up that time.
I remember I think I was in kindergarten.
I mean, as an adult.
Oh, as an adult, But even as a kindergarten kid, I remember sitting in the MRT for the first time. And then my parents brought me and it was just for the fun of it.
I can't remember the first time I go in MRT.
Yeah. Probably your parents had to bring you. Yeah.
Yeah.
If I was in kindergarten, meant that you might have been an infant or something.
Infant. Toddler,
not infant, toddler.
But if imagine growing up in that time as an adult, and it's really...
The changes, right?
The changes, man. Crazy.
Yeah. Right? It kind of tells me that... I think I my last one short thing was some basketball thing, right? There was one statistic in the video that said, basically the year 1985... when Michael Jordan won Rookie of the Year, Larry Bird won MVP, and Magic Johnson won the NBA Championship, is that time from between now and then, that was 36 years ago, right? And if you go back to 1985, it was 36 years since the NBA was founded. So all those black and white videos of men just running around. And the standards of basketball that improved in that 36 years, that first 36 years, was so great, right?
Yeah.
But you think about from Michael Jordan's era to now, it's much less improvement.
He's still being talked about as the greatest of all time.
You look at Michael Jordan and be like, he can play in today's NBA. Yeah. He's still be awesome. But But yeah, it shows you that there's this diminishing returns when it comes to improving things over time. So you think about, last time MRT being introduced to Singapore versus, you know, today, or they introduce a new line and everything. The marginal improvement or the marginal excitement it brings is much less.
And because also now, you know, with access to information, you can, if there's a new train opening, like this new form of transport, you look at videos online. Last time, there was nothing, right?
Nothing,
All of a sudden, one day, you have to go underground and take a train.
Yeah. So that's funny thing. The guy, Samuel Chong was explaining that. He was like, in some stations are above ground and some are below ground. So you will need to take the stairs to go down.
No escalator maybe.
There was lah, but I think it was just such a crazy thing to that you have to go underground to take something, and probably maybe people were scared. I don't know lah. People were
and last time
afraid.
The trains above station, there was no barricade, no.
Correct. Yeah. I remember. Yeah.
The train just comes.
And you just you risk if you don't stand too close right? They will say.
That was actually quite ridiculous also. Man.
It was. Yeah. The fact that we trusted people enough to let them not jump on the train tracks.
Now you imagine a new development. Are you crazy? Yeah. There's no barricade. Correct. But last time, if you never got to experience it, you go to a platform.
Yeah.
It's just the middle. And then the sides are open.
Correct.
You get the wind in your face. It was magical.
It was magical.
And then the train comes. You feel the gust of air. Oh.
You don't get it anymore. But yeah, it's that's why watching the video is more nostalgic. I mean, it's more interesting than anything, just watching what Singapore was like back then.
Awesome. Cool, man.
Cool.
Awesome. So that was the first podcast of the week.
Yeah.
If
you want to work with us, check out our new website, ministryoffunny.com. If anything, can I just do a quick shout out to people who are on our Reddit or maybe want to come and check out Reddit. Our Reddit actually is a very interesting place now. A lot of people posting different things and having debates amongst themselves.
Yeah.
And we still go there time to time and join in as well, right?
Yeah.
And reply comments and stuff. So yeah, do check out Reddit also, those of you who haven't tried it before.
Yeah. And if you want to find out more about anything we do or reach out to us, you can check out our brand new website, ministryoffunny.com.
Yeah.
All the links are there. You can just send us a message there and we will get back to you as soon as we can.
Yep.
Awesome. Thanks for listening, everybody.